Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the second midweek in Lent, which also happens to be the festival of St. Joseph, the guardian of our Lord, comes from our gospel reading from Matthew. Now, when the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and says, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." In the name of Jesus. Amen. On Sunday, we heard that a certain Herod wanted to kill Jesus as an adult. Tonight, we read that another Herod wants to kill him as a baby. Whether that Herod from Sunday, Herod Antipas, really wanted to kill Jesus, like the text kind of alluded to, no one is 100% sure. But it is unequivocal that the Herod from tonight, Antipas' father, Herod the Great, most certainly did. Now, there is a part from the second chapter of Matthew that we leave out in our reading. That's the part where Herod the Great sends his henchmen into Bethlehem and puts to sword all the male children 2 years and under. It's a travesty. Infanticide in every sense of the word. Lamentations by the crib load, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, just like any mother would if her baby boy was ripped from her arms and murdered before her eyes. But like I said, for tonight we lay aside that travesty, not because it's not worthy to talk about, but instead so that we might focus a little bit on Joseph, the earthly father and the guardian of our Lord. Because each and every single March 19th, the church sets aside and takes time to remember Joseph, to remember how God the Father provided his Son, the Savior of the world, with a protector and a guardian in order to care for him. And yes, protect him when he was unable to do so for himself. And I know that does sound a little bit strange that the Lord of life and the God of all creation needs to be taken care of and protected, but that just speaks to the fullness of Christ's humanity. A little baby needs to be taken care of, needs to be spoon-fed, needs to be taught how to talk and walk and do everything else that little children need to learn. And yes, they also need to be protected when danger arises. For in the fullness of their weakness, which every little child has, they can't protect themselves. 12 legions of angels could have been sent, of course, to keep Herod and his soldiers at bay, but that's not the way that our Lord works. God the Father is not going to send supernatural angels to protect his Son in the flesh from temporal danger. Instead, he's going to use temporal guardians to accomplish that task. Jesus, he speaks similarly in our second reading for this evening, as well as he's betrayed into the hands of sinners by the kiss of Judas. If the Father wanted to send a host of angels to protect his Son, he most definitely could have and would have, but Scripture must be fulfilled. And so it is, too, as a little baby at his mother's breast, Scripture still has to be fulfilled. So, out of Egypt, God the Father will call his Son. And so off to Egypt, his Son goes, under the protection of Joseph, the guardian of our Lord. It's in this way, then, that we get to see one of the many ways in which Jesus does actually fulfill Scripture. Not only is he called out of Egypt to fulfill the letter of the law, but he's also called out of Egypt to fulfill the spirit of the law. Jesus, he's Israel reduced to one. He's the Israel that was always meant to be, and so he follows in the footsteps of the Israel that was. And just as the old Israel was taken to Egypt in order to protect them from temporal danger, remember Joseph and the 7-year famine that he saved his family from, so too is the new Israel, Jesus, taken to Egypt to protect him from temporal danger. The likes of Herod and his band of murderous soldiers. And again, then, just as old Israel was led out of Egypt by the Father once their enemy had been destroyed, again, think Passover lamb and Red Sea, So too is the new Israel, little baby Jesus brought out of Egypt by his father. Once Herod breathes his last, and Jesus is no longer in danger of meeting his demise at the business end of a sword as a little baby. For you see, it was not the Heavenly Father's will for his son to die at the hands of that first Herod, not as a baby, not until he had first satisfied the entirety of the law and all righteousness had been fulfilled. In order for Jesus to be the new Israel, he had to live long enough for him to be able to be the new Passover lamb. And so God, the Heavenly Father, uses Joseph, the earthly father, to make sure that that would take place. Now, surely Joseph had no idea that he was saving his son from a horrible death only so that his son could later die a different type of horrible death, but that hardly matters. It's not very often that we understand the ramifications of our actions today, what they will actually be upon our future. But for Joseph, all that he knew was that his son was in danger and that there was a madman looking to kill him, and that the Heavenly Father had sent an angel to tell Joseph to protect his son. And so protect him he did. That's why the church has always bestowed upon Joseph the title of guardian, because that's exactly who he is, who he was. But then that's exactly who a father is. That's exactly who our father is. And that's exactly who God intends all fathers to be. Joseph was the guardian of our Lord. He made sure that there was food on the table and a roof over Jesus' head. But more than that, he risked everything he had in order to protect this gift of a son that was bestowed on him through unordinary means. And in this, we do see the sacrifice of a father, what it is meant to be a father. And we know that the fourth commandment, what it says, honor your father and your mother. And we usually focus on what that actually means to the child, to the person who's under authority. But it also does say something, maybe even more importantly, to the person to whom that authority has been given. And it is that person who's actually the servant of the ones placed under his care. For Joseph, that was Jesus. And so, in reality, that meant placing this child Jesus' needs above his own in order to properly fulfill his fatherly vocation. So our Heavenly Father placed Joseph as the earthly father of our Lord. And he did so not just so that Joseph could be an example to us on how to be a good father, or even to show throughout all times that fathers are not indispensable. But above all, God gave his son, an earthly father, to be his guardian, so that Jesus might one day fulfill the vocation of being the Savior of the world, the Son of God, the Paschal Lamb, who takes away all sin. For Jesus' death was not to take place in the streets of Bethlehem or the back alleyways of Nazareth at the hands of Jewish soldiers, at the command of a tyrant king who misunderstood what it meant to actually be a king and what it meant to be the Messiah. That's why Joseph does whisk away Jesus to save him from death so that he might one day grow up and be put to death on a cross for you. It's no coincidence, like I said earlier, that the angel commanded Joseph to flee to Egypt. That was so that the prophet's words, Hosea's words, could be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. We're reminded there from Hosea all the way back to that quintessential Old Testament salvific moment that we mentioned a little bit earlier. The Exodus. It's where we see our God saving his people from the hands of their enemies, freeing them from bondage, drowning all their foes in the Red Sea. That's the event that always pointed forward to something even greater. And I know it is hard to believe that there's something even greater than 10 plagues and Israelites walking on dry ground through an ocean and Pharaoh and his entire army being drowned in the aftermath. But there is something even greater than all of that. God sends Joseph to Egypt so that years later he can call Joseph and Mary and Jesus out of Egypt. He saved them for the purpose of saving the world. God gave Joseph to Jesus as a father so that Jesus could be protected at his most vulnerable, at a time in which the God of the whole universe couldn't even stand or walk or talk or defend himself against the dangers of the world. The Heavenly Father gave his Son an earthly father so that the Son could one day fulfill the purpose for which he was sent, the whole reason why he took on human flesh to begin with. And when it boils down to it, Joseph didn't forsake his Son, Jesus, so that one day Jesus could, in fact, yes, be forsaken by his earthly father. And I know that too sounds a little weird to our ears, but that's the truth. God forsook the Son on the cross. He made sure that his only begotten Son would never be forsaken by his earthly father, so that he could one day be offered up as that perfect sacrifice to the Heavenly Father. It is quite the paradox, but then the stuff of God always is. You, sitting here tonight, you are a child of God. A child whose Heavenly Father is never forsaken, but gives his good and gracious gifts to you every single day. Gifts of food and drink and house and home. Gifts of brothers and sisters and mothers and yes, even fathers. All of these are first article gifts given from God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. But the gift that surpasses all these gifts is the gift of the Son, given as a sacrifice with the sins of the world placed upon him. From a father whose will it was, just like our second reading tells us, that his Son drink down that cup of wrath all the way down to the dregs that was set before him. The Father offered his Son, the new Israel, up to death as that new Paschal lamb so that he might protect and guard his children from their enemies of sin and death and the devil that seek to destroy them. And so today, tonight, this evening, we give thanks for fathers, for Joseph, that our Heavenly Father gave his Son an earthly one so that his Son could be protected as a child, so that he could fulfill the law as an adult, so that he could pray his way through Gethsemane and make his way to the cross for you. In the name of Jesus.